and welcome to The Web Surfers. I'm your number one host, Fox.
And I'm your number two host, Bella.
And this week, we're talking about weddings.
And we're using what we find on the internet to help us do it.
But before we start surfing, what are your opinions on weddings? Do you like going to them? Do you want to have one? That kind of thing. Well, let's start with, do you like going to them? Do you like attending weddings? Do you get excited to be invited?
I've been to exactly one wedding, and that's actually two, right. But one that I remember, okay. Both of which were for our aunts, respectively.
Yes.
And, because I didn't even get to attend your wedding, but we'll get into that.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's fine. I don't have enough, like, classy clothes to really, like, get involved.
It's the outfits that stress me out.
Yeah, I have to wear heels for a day. Like, I'm not, no. And there's a lot of standing around involved.
As a gentleman of the transgender variety,
yes.
Formal clothes just really aren't my thing.
Mm.
You know, the suits are ill-fitting. It's hard to get a suit that fits such a tiny man.
Is there a brand for, like, trans mask people who want to wear suits? Like, I feel like that's untapped market.
There probably is, and it's probably founded in LA, and the suits are probably $700.
Oh yeah, easily. I'm not saying that they would be affordable. I'm just saying I bet someone has done that.
Yes. ASOS, you know, has some things going on there because they do go down to quite small sizes. They have, like, petite ranges unisex. Yes, and unisex ranges, and they do go down to very small men's shoe sizes. So I guess that would probably be where I would get a suit from. I don't currently own one, and the concept of having to shop for a suit honestly fills me with a degree of dread. I think maybe once I yeet my teats, I might enjoy the concept more. But at this point, that's the only thing I don't enjoy about weddings. I really like weddings because, well, I don't know if I enjoy them from any, like, romantic reason or anything like that. I don't think that I'm not someone who's sitting there crying with joy. Or anything. I don't actually think that they're that big of a deal. But I like the spectacle of it. And even more than that, I like free food.
And alcohol.
Yeah, I like an excuse to get drunk and an excuse to dance to, like, cheesy music.
Yeah.
And I really like to make fun of other people. And feel like a wedding is a really good vehicle for, like, being, like, secretly bitchy. Like, sitting at a table with your friends.
Great people watching.
Yeah, sitting with your friends at a table, sipping Prosecco, and just kind of being like, oh, the mother-in-law's being a nightmare. Can see that happening. Or
you're like, oh, she's walked in wearing an ivory dress.
Yeah, exactly. I like the drama of it. I like if somebody's, you know, invited their ex and it's a bit weird.
Yeah, that's a right pickle.
So it's not about the love and the romance for me. It is absolutely the spectacle of the whole thing,
yeah,
which I enjoy greatly. And I do get really excited to be invited to something like that. I like the events of it. However, I will say none of my close friends have gotten married yet. I think when I go to a close friend's wedding, especially if I'm part of the wedding party, I think I'll have quite a different opinion of it, where I'll probably be, like, fiercely protective of the bride, and I see someone, like, turn up in an ivory dress, and I'll be the person to, like, usher them out. Be like, you have to go get changed.
Or, like, pour red wine down them or something.
Yeah.
That can be your job on my wedding.
Yeah, well, that leads me into my next question. Are you someone who believes in marriage as an institution?
I think so. I'm not in, like, the way that it's like, oh, you know, I think you have to be married in order to, like, I don't know, cement your relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just basically, like, with my loved one, I would just like to have a big party where we get to wear nice dresses and have a little kiss and have a little dance.
Yeah, well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah, I like, you know? Even from like age 13, I've had like a Pinterest board for like wedding stuff.
Yeah, I had a Pinterest board for wedding stuff. Yeah. I didn't do any of it.
Oh no, well, wedding. That's okay.
But the aesthetics are cool. It's nice to think about what I would do if I was a millionaire.
Yeah. And I like looking at, I always like looking at like Art Nouveau, like things like in Belgium where they have these beautiful ballrooms at Art Nouveau, just covered in plants and stuff. I think I could have a really nice time.
Yeah.
Family is stressful and I almost feel like I'd always want to have quite a small wedding if I were to have one.
Other people ruin it. Yeah. Absolutely. Making the guest list, assigning tables, making sure people feel included, trying to choose friends to be like bridesmaids wedding party, because someone's gonna have to be excluded. Someone who thought that they were closer to you than they are.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be cut out.
Feelings are gonna be hurt. I don't know. I feel like with big weddings, there's always a certain degree of drama and a lot of stress because so much money has been put into the wedding that it's like everything must go perfectly.
Yeah.
I know people who have spent $30,000 on their wedding.
God. And that's even quite a small amount for a wedding.
Yeah, that's not even that crazy. The average, I think, is £36,000. I believe is the average like cost of a wedding.
Yeah, a lot.
Which is insane. At that point, get a housing loan.
Yeah. You know? Oh my god, yeah. Just go do something else with that money, please.
Do anything else. Buy a car. Move. Yeah. Go on a really cool holiday. I don't know. Anything, but just spend all of that money on one day. I mean, again, unless you're a millionaire and that's like change to you. Yeah. But
I always think it would be kind of fun to go get eloped, just like to get eloped. That's not the word. That's not what I meant to say. To elope. The verb.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it would be nice.
I essentially almost did that.
Yeah.
My wedding was very close to being an elopement. It was so small.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you about your wedding.
Yes. Well, I think I should relay the story.
The people deserve to know.
So my dress cost £34, was from ASOS. My weight fluctuated so much that I had it taken in and out multiple times. It ended up not being great. The makeup that I did was also bad because we stayed on a small yacht, which makes it sound fancy, but it really wasn't.
In Australia, having a yacht, I feel like, or like being on a yacht is not as fancy as it would be in like the UK.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I mean, it was a nice boat, but the sleeping quarters were teeny tiny and the bathroom was so small. So I actually did my makeup, sat on the toilet.
Lovely.
Using like a really grimy mirror on the back of the door to do my wedding makeup. The floor was soaked from like showering and stuff in there. So the bottom of my dress got all wet, which was bad too. And also there was a little window behind my head and the boat was rocking. So as I was doing my makeup, out of the corner of my eye, I could just see buildings and then sky and then tops of buildings and then sky. And I got so seasick from doing my makeup. By the time I finished it, and it was bad, I like crawled off of the boat onto the pier, like hands and knees, thinking that I was gonna like, just spew. And I managed to not. All day I managed to keep it down, but I felt awful up until after we got married and I had some champagne. And I think the fizziness maybe settled my stomach a little bit and I felt kind of okay for the rest of the day then.
Yeah.
But before that point, it was bad. It was also bad because I got my period and I was in...
That's not fun.
In a white dress. Not great. Also, I was staying on a boat. There was no sanitary bin.
Of course there wasn't. Why would there be?
Of course not. And then the main disaster revolved around fake tan.
Oh.
So, see, I'm not really a spray tan person. In fact, this was, I think, the second spray tan that I'd ever received. So I went to the lady, put on the silly little, like, paper thong, had her spray me. She was like, how dark do you want to go? And I was like, ooh, I would rather like to be nice and bronzed. So I opted for the dark 6-hour wash off.
Sure.
And then went home, very orange. And immediately I went to go piss on my... at this point, I lived very rurally. So I had a compost toilet and had a plastic seat. And I knew that that kind of plastic is porous. And if I got fake tan on it...
it would look like that forever.
It was going to be there forever.
Yeah.
So I decided to squat above this toilet. Pissed down my legs, didn't I? But couldn't take a shower because I still had more than 5 hours left that I had to keep this tan on for.
Oh, God.
So I then took a wet wipe to the piss streaks that were now bright white... and then reapplied some of my own fake tan with gloves over the piss, obviously threw the gloves away, and then pulled on like some clothes and cried the entire drive to Sydney. And because I was crying, I was leaving fake tan streaks all down my,
oh my
face
God.
And neck. And so I was just constantly putting fake tan into my bare palm and wiping it around my face whilst hysterically sobbing. We reach Sydney. We get to the boat. I go down into the boat, into the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, I thought this was going to be far more luxurious than it is. I showered. They were not expecting me to shower, so the drain was not open. So I flood the bathroom with fake tan water. I then require my father-in-law to wade through my fake tan water that looks like I've diarrheaed into. That is the color that it is, to sort out the plug. And then as everyone's sitting on top of the white boat drinking, a ton of brown shoots out the side of the boat and dribbles down it, obviously looking like I have done something disgusting. And then I was just too orange as well. Like, I was just really orange.
Yeah, really, really orange.
And then I was like, I just shouldn't have done this. I just should have been pale. Like,
just
why?
You made mistakes.
I was just like, everyone gets a spray tan for their wedding. I'm going to do that. I was a terrible woman. Listen, I was really bad at it.
Yeah, I think we should have known at that point.
It was really disastrous. I had this terrible, really short hair at the time, too. Because I was like, oh, I want to be more feminine, so I should grow out my buzz cut.
Yeah,
but it was like grown out like an inch.
No.
And so it was just like really gelled.
Oh.
Somehow the photos looked really cute.
That's good.
They turned out good. Really, really nice photos of my wedding. So that was something. My feet, this is the final downside. Oh no, there's two more things.
Oh God.
we've got a finishing touch coming up.
Oh,
the
God.
Piece de resistance is on its way. But the shoes that I was wearing that were gorgeous, these little leather shoes with all these like interesting cutouts, they looked very mid-century modern, very cute.
Lovely.
Made my feet bleed. So then I had to walk from the wedding venue to where we were going to eat dinner, I think, barefoot across dirty, rainy Sydney. It's very disgusting, very slimy, wasn't happy.
Why was it slimy? What do you mean it was
because
slimy?
Because it's a city. It's a wet city, and it's just got, it's just sludgy, isn't it? We were down by, like, the water and the pier, and there's, like, seagull shit everywhere.
Oh,
it was
God.
Horrible. Then we get to the hotel later after the dinner and I've gotten changed and I'm feeling better and everything. And I wake up in the morning and my pillowcase has kind of come away and there's blood all over the pillow underneath from where someone has clearly slept on it before
and had
a nosebleed or gotten murdered. And I've slept
and they've
on
just
someone
put
else's
another sheet over it.
Dry blood. Yeah, it was a really kind of dodgy hotel. The whole thing was done for $500, so you know, at least I didn't feel like oh no, we've lost so much money.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, because I only spent $500, I can laugh about it. I love telling this story because, you know what? What a memorable wedding.
Well, exactly.
So funny. And at the end of the day, I still got married, and I'm still married today. I've been married for 3 years, and I'm very happily married. I love being exactly. married. I'm so glad that I did get married. I would not want to be on the dating scene anymore. So the whole thing's great. But if I'd spent $30,000 on that day and had all those experiences, being on my period, the fake tan, the bad nails, the bad makeup and hair, the dodgy hotel, the nausea, all of this, I would have had a nervous fucking breakdown.
Yeah, awful.
I'm talking bridezilla. Yeah. I'm talking breaking things in a hotel room. It would have been bad for me.
Oh,
so
God.
I don't understand the spending lots of money.
No, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
But so I like weddings ultimately, but I also think that they're not necessary and can be a huge waste of money. But, you know, each to their own.
I think that they are a vehicle for chaos, and I love that
yes.
for them, because I like seeing other people's business.
Exactly.
But that is why I will not have a big wedding.
No, I would advise not going over, like, $5,000
no.
for a wedding.
Yeah, I think that seems
I think
more
that should
than
be
reasonable.
The limit.
Yeah.
Right. Well, shall we get into other people's weddings then?
I think we should start surfing. Wax your surfboard. Let's go.
All right. So I'm going to start us off with a WikiHow. Because I love WikiHow.
It's the best website. The fact that every single like WikiHow article has its own bespoke art.
It's the art that's like all in the same style. Is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, like, who's making it? Should I start doing that? Do you think I can get paid for it? Or are people doing it for free out of passion?
WikiHow, let us know.
Let us know, because I'll do some illustration for you, if that's what you need.
If you could do some WikiHow, like, do, like, abstract illustrations.
Yeah, I'm doing oil paintings.
But, like, a really basic article.
Yeah.
Like, how to take ibuprofen or something.
Yeah.
And you just, like, do interpretive pieces on it.
The most beautiful bespoke pieces of art for that. I think I could do that. I think that'd be fun. Right, let's go.
Right, so this article actually came out on my birthday, which I think is fun. How to host a dog wedding.
Oh, very exciting. Thrilling.
Traditionally, dog weddings were held to mark the start of a breeding relationship. Today, dog weddings are becoming popular fundraisers for animal-related charities. Whether you're celebrating the consummation of a breeding relationship
no.
or raising money for a worthy cause...
We definitely shouldn't be celebrating the consummation of a breeding relationship.
Why are we forcing...
They're dogs.
Why are we forcing, like, archaic human institutions onto dogs?
Really fucked up. You guys are only
banging.
Allowed to breed on your wedding night.
Yeah, like, they've got to be married before they can breed. That's so funny. It's
fucking ridiculous. Also, like, the use of the word traditionally. Like, when did this become a tradition? Because if we're talking,
since
like, the 60s, I don't think that counts.
All right, so the first thing you got to do is choose a wedding party, obviously. Mm. In addition to the bride and groom, you may want to include other dogs in the wedding. Ask the bride's best furry friends to serve as the maid of honor and the bridesmaids. Invite the groom's favorite four-legged friends to stand by his side as the best man and groomsman. I like the concept of dogs having best friends. Like, as if that means anything to them.
Yeah, it's just like whoever's butthole they like the smell of the best.
My dogs love each other, but I think it's because they're the only dogs that I have.
Yeah, like, they like each other out of convenience.
Yeah. Okay, so you gotta then find an officiant. You may hire a licensed celebrant to conduct the ceremony or ask a close friend to lead the bride and groom through their wedding vows.
Oh. No.
It also says here that, bear in mind, dog marriages are not legally binding.
Yeah, you don't say.
All right, then you got to create a guest list. Okay, and then it's about planning the nuptials. If the guest list is lengthy, you might want to rent a larger space, like a ballroom. I don't think anyone's going to let you just unleash like a dozen dogs in their ballroom. Yeah, like
12 dogs in little suits.
And also, like, that's indoors. You're asking for trouble.
Oh my god, yeah. Unless they're all wearing those, like, weird little, like, dog diaper things where they just poop directly into a little bag that's, like, attached to them all the time.
All right, are you ready for this?
Yes, please. So we've got please. To
plan the ceremony. So we start with the procession, have the wedding party and their human handlers walk down the aisle to the altar. Then you've got a symbol of unity. Have the bride and groom drink out of a shared cup. Vows. The two love pups may exchange vows at the altar. Officiant, do you, Victor, take Viridian to be your beloved? Victor, off! That was a very bad bark from me. Would you like to do... Can you do a better bark?
Woof.
Excellent.
That was pretty good.
Officiant, do you take Viridian? Do you, Viridian, take Victor to be your beloved? And then Viridian also does a bark. Oof. Pronouncement of marriage. After the pups exchange vows, the officiant can formally announce the happy couple. Victor and Viridian, I now pronounce you two pups in love. You may sniff your bride. Okay, so then we've got a reception. We've got food, drinks, of course.
Sure.
Traditional elements. You okay. may have the bride and groom cut the cake.
No, you're not. Share a no, first you can't. Dance. No, you can't. You can't do either of those things. They're dogs. You cannot. You're gonna give a dog a knife?
This is even worse. The bride's handler could then throw her bouquet to the eligible female pups, and the groom's owner could toss the bride's garter to all the bachelors. Don't put a garter on your dog.
They've got a dog garter? Oh my god. Wow. See, I'm really not, like, into the implications of a lot of this.
No.
Of, like, the consummation stuff. Like, I don't need to know about dog sex.
It's very aggressively heterosexual. That's the only people that can be doing this, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's, like, super hetero-romantic. Like,
yeah, it's really odd in that regard. It feels aggressively Christian to me
somehow.
In a lot of ways.
It also feels like this has either been written in Florida or like Las Vegas.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Or like upper, you know, like wasps in waspy women in New York.
Yeah,
as well.
Sure.
So that's basically it. You know, a lot of it's like, you know, you got to have custom costumes and all that kind of thing. But this is where this is really good.
Oh my God.
The community Q&A.
Oh,
so
good.
just in case the WikiHow article was not informative enough to you on how to do a dog wedding, we've got some questions here. So, my Shih Tzu and my friend Shih Tzu are getting married. How should I invite the guests? Invite them as you would if it were your own wedding, but you could send out the invitations with a picture of both of them together, or paw prints, or something related. Like, yeah, just invites. I don't know.
What did they think they were gonna do? Like, get the dogs to write the in? Like, I don't... Huh?
This one's good. I know this sounds a bit silly, but should I get them rings? You could, for decoration, but don't actually put them on the dogs. You might consider getting special collars that can substitute for the rings.
Yeah, that seems like the most sensible option, given the options, like, given the circumstances where none of this is sensible. Please don't put a metal ring on your dog.
There's three more questions that I want to run through really quick.
Go.
Before we move on to what you've found. Is it possible for dogs to date? Is there an article for that?
What?
If you want your dog to date, you should just let it make a new friend. If your friend has a dog around the same age as yours, let them spend time together at dog parks or each other's houses. That's the closest a dog will get to dating.
Do they have to be the same age?
Yeah, no age gaps.
I didn't think that would be an issue with dogs, really. I mean, obviously. I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a point of contention there. I'm not sure.
All right. What is the benefit of your dog getting married? I don't think there really is a benefit of your dog getting married.
Oh, is that the answer?
Yeah, that was the answer.
No.
And the final one. Is bestiality when dogs start fooling around? And the answer is no. Bestiality is when a human has sexual intercourse with any animal of any kind and is illegal in many places.
Is bestiality when dogs start fooling around? Fooling around? I don't think that's how... I don't think dogs do that as much.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right, so handing it over to you. On your surfing, what have you discovered in regards to weddings?
Well, I had a very good time going on Reddit, and I just went to Ask Reddit, the r/AskReddit page, and just searched worst weddings. And there was lots and lots of articles.
Okay,
just like,
good.
Just like, what's the worst thing you've seen at a wedding? And a lot of them were either very sad or very funny.
Yeah.
This one is really good.
Mixed bag.
Okay. So this is by user Mange Strusik. I don't know what that means, but that's fine. And they say, there was this guy outside of the hotel walking up to groups of people in the smoking area asking how much each person weighed. He was very overweight himself and his jeans looked to be on inside out.
Oh.
He was severely underdressed for the occasion and no one seemed to know him. Anyways, he would ask a person's weight and then exclaim, "I can bench that." To one guy, I think it was a family member of the bride, got into an argument with him and started asking around if anyone knew this person, figuring he was a wedding crasher. That's when this gentleman decided to cut a deal with everyone.
Oh.
If I can pick up that bench with my bare hands, can I stay for the party?
Honestly, king. This is iconic.
To which everyone agrees, because the bench was clearly bolted to the ground, so there's going to be no way he can pick it up. So he walks over, puts his hands on the bench, crouches down, and with all of his might, shits his pants in front of everyone.
No. That's why he was wearing his jeans inside out, because he'd already done that once, like, earlier that day.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, he shits his pants in front of everyone. He stood up and waddled off through the parking lot, never to be seen again.
Oh my god.
I did hear throughout the night people talking about a guy who was on shrooms outside trying to lift a bench, so I guess he was also tripping balls.
Yeah, that would explain a lot of that behavior. Not all of it, mind you, but
that is the end of the story. But
I love that. That's very
just
good.
The concept of going up to people and like asking how much they weigh and just be like, I can bench that, fuck you, I can bench that, is just really
just
funny.
If I lift a bench up, can I stay?
With my bare hands, can I stay for the party? And everyone's like, no. Get out of here.
Like, if nobody wants you there, why would you want to be there? Like, that's always something that amuses
so
me.
Weird. Oh my god.
That's good. See, this is another good thing about weddings, is they just attract freaks.
Yeah, just absolutely insane people.
Anything like that has a real weirdo magnet about it, and people
yeah.
just start... Either it attracts very strange people, like wedding crashers.
Yeah, I don't get the wedding crashing, like, thing. I don't know what that's about.
Or it makes people who are usually normal very strange. Like, people get very emotional.
People are really emotional.
And very drunk. I think it's probably the drinking, like, the day drinking that causes certain disasters.
Yeah, it's the drink. You start drinking at, like, depending on when the wedding is, like, probably 1 p.m.
Yes.
And you get drunk, too. It's not even like, oh, I'll go for a pint and be, like, fine. It's like, you're like, I'm going for, like, a whiskey on the rocks. 1 p.m., let's go.
It's also, like, yeah, necking mimosas.
Yeah. Because it's free, often.
Bachelorette parties are the messiest of all, though. Like, you know, screw the wedding. Bachelor and bachelorette parties are
disastrous.
Yeah, always disastrous, pretty much. Oh my God. Mine was cool.
Yeah.
We just went to cocktail bars and then to a nightclub and then another nightclub.
Oh, yeah, that was in the UK, wasn't it?
Yeah, that had a drag show going on.
Yeah, that was a good time. You did get kissed by, like, several random men, though.
Yeah, so still weird, and this is what I mean. Weddings attract strange people. I was wearing the, you know, bride-to-be sash thing.
Yeah.
And many men walked up to me and tried to kiss me on the mouth.
Yeah, on the mouth, too. It's not even,
Why did I have to, like... I dodged, like, three kisses. And then I ended up having to take it off.
Yeah, because it's like apparently chaos causing.
It was attracting like really strange vibes.
Yeah.
Like people coming up to me being like, oh, you should have gone somewhere bigger and better for your bachelorette. And I was just like, no.
I'm having a nice time. I'm fine. It's at cool.
This cocktail bar, actually. And they're like, you don't want to go like crazy clubbing on a Saturday? No.
Not really.
But like, so I was either getting kissed or sort of judged.
Yeah, neither of which are, like, great.
I actually like being the center of attention, but not like that.
No.
The vibes were rancid, so the sash had to go.
Yeah.
But anyone who's ever worked it in a nightclub or a strip club or any of those sorts of things will tell you that bachelorette parties and bachelor parties are pretty much
the bad.
Their nightmares.
Yeah.
The worst shift you will ever work.
Yeah.
So much nudity, so many like bodily fluids.
So much crying.
A lot of cheating.
Yeah. Cheating, crying. It's just a bad scene.
What is that? Like the last night of like freedom, which honestly I didn't really get because I was, you know. To me, being married wasn't really a big deal. I wanted to be married, so I got married.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much like, oh, I'm giving up everything. Again,
you're literally not giving
up
anything.
Very aggressively straight mindset, seemingly, where you just sort of think that the whole thing's like a ball and chain. And I'm like, well, just don't get married then. But certainly don't jerk off the stripper, man.
Yeah,
if you're getting married tomorrow.
Don't do that. It's like, you know, those weird wedding toppers that, like, straight couples get where it's, like,
yes.
You know, the man, like, running away and the woman has a big net or, like...
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it. Like, they're always about the man trying to escape. I'm like, why are you getting married then? If you want to escape that bad and go drink a pint with your boys, why don't you just get married to your boys then? And get it.
You know something else I really don't get is all of these reality TV shows where people get married after like 2 weeks or 90 days.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big, big watcher of wedding reality. So say yes to the dress. Don't tell
the
bride.
Say yes to the dress is a huge favorite of mine.
Married at first sight. Australia, particularly married at first sight, is insane.
That's what I always hear. I've not actually seen it.
90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah. What's the one? Love is Blind, where they meet through a wall.
Oh, yeah, they don't get to see each other. And then they get like they can just choose to get married.
Then they get married.
After like 2 weeks of not having ever seen this person.
It's dreadful.
Huh? 2 weeks? What are you talking about?
I remember I watched the first season of Love is Blind and these two had like
oh my God.
it was really messy with these two. Like, honestly, pretty good chemistry through the wall. And then she met him, and you could just tell that she just was so upset with how he looked. And I thought he was pretty good looking, but she didn't like that he was, like, short and dark-haired, I think, was, like, not her thing.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just awful.
And so then she kept trying to steal this other guy that she'd been talking to, who'd partnered up with somebody else. Like, she kept, like sidling up to him and hanging out with him at events, even though he wasn't her
interested.
Partner.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my fucking God.
She was constantly pissed out of her mind.
Yeah. Oh,
She was so drunk, and she fed red wine to her dog.
What?
Fell over. The whole thing was so messy. I mean, I live for it, but good lord.
Disaster.
And none of these couples, like, ever work out. Very few, anyway. Which, I mean, shocker.
Yeah, big surprise.
People know each other for, like, a couple of weeks and then they get married. Oh, yeah, they didn't work out? Wow.
Oh, what a
shame. That's crazy.
There's, like, one couple from Married at First Sight Australia, the last season, because there's a new season that's just come out and I haven't started it yet, who actually are still together and they have a baby and they're actually super lovely. They had a great time on the show.
Oh, that's nice.
They got matched perfectly. They're the sweetest people ever. It's lovely. Everyone else, absolutely unhinged. Just, like, everything that happens,
yeah, that's
is
a huge
so chaotic
outlier.
Yeah, it's just awful. And it's like with my favorite is Don't Tell the Bride as well, the British one, where it will be like, my dream wedding is to have a, you know, at a stately home, and I just want, you know, a simple kind of ivory dress, and I just want, like, my parents and, like, my sister there. Just want something simple, pared down. I'm vegetarian, so there definitely can't be meat at the wedding. And then, like, you go, and then so she packs up and, like, leaves and goes to stay with her family or whatever, whilst the husband plans the party. And it's like, I'm having a football-themed party, and it's going to be a hog roast, and we're going to be in the middle of a field in the middle of winter, and everyone has to wear Wellington boots, and I hate my wife. Like, it's literally just like they do the worst thing you could possibly imagine.
Right, I found an article. I've done some last-minute surfing.
Oh, what, have you found, like, the worst Don't Tell the Bride episodes?
The top five worst Don't Tell the Bride
yeah,
episodes.
Yeah, because there's often they're just like, oh, he's really fucked up the wedding day, but I love him anyway, so we're going to stay together and all that. But very occasionally, the bride will be like, I'm actually never speaking to you again. And then you'll have an update at the end of the episode where they're like, and they just haven't, they've moved out. She's gone. You're like, oh my God.
Right. So the number one is the wedding on the pig farm.
Yeah.
So
that's the one.
It's literally just,
I think she leaves him, right?
Yeah, that was the one where she actually doesn't get married to him. And his whole idea, the reason he wanted to get married on a pig farm was because he wanted to break the Guinness World Record for the largest parade of pigs.
British people are a different breed, man.
I mean, honestly, I'd like to get married on a pig farm with the Guinness World Record largest parade of pigs. But I can understand why this woman wouldn't. Like, oh yeah, and this was also one, because I'm looking at the picture here. And all the bridesmaids are in, like, pink onesies.
Yes,
the
pigs.
Onesies.
Yeah.
Yes. And you could just see the bride's mother standing in the background just looking furious.
So mad. Absolutely so mad.
The other one that was bad was the underwater wedding.
Oh,
where he made the bride spend hours getting her hair and makeup done before revealing they were getting married underwater in a swimming pool in diving gear. And the groom's excuse was, Haley loves her water. Like, she likes drinking water, so he's like, let's get married. Imagine knowing so little about, like, your significant other's interests. He's like, what does she like? oh, water. She drinks quite a lot of water. She likes to get married in a swimming pool. Fuck that.
One of my other favourite things about Don't Tell the Bride is when they organise a stag do's versus the hen do's, and the man will organise a stag do and he's like, I'm taking me and my six best mates to Amsterdam for a week and we're going to have a fucking crazy time. And then the hen do is like, they've rented
the saddest thing.
A VIP table at the local pub and they haven't even prepaid for the drinks or anything.
I literally saw one where I think I know the one that you're like referring to, where they went to Vegas, the boys did, and it was like a crazy blowout.
Yeah.
They spent so much of the budget on it. And then the girls got sent to the local pub quiz where there was only two other tables of people there. And they went to the bar being like, has he at least like pre-ordered us a bottle of champagne? And they were like, no.
No.
I would break up with somebody on the spot.
I would break up with someone over that. That's awful.
Absolutely.
That's so selfish.
That's actually number four on this list.
Okay, yeah.
Oh no, this is a different one. This is a different Vegas themed thing. So the groom decided that the wedding would be in Vegas.
Oh god.
But he told the bride via video, not even call or anything, like sent her a video because he's so chicken shit, that he didn't have enough budget to fly her family out there, so she had to just choose like six guests.
Oh my god.
She chose like her parents, so she wanted a huge wedding. He told her she could only have six guests.
Oh my god.
And then there's another one where they got married in a cave, but the mum was claustrophobic, so she couldn't attend the wedding.
I'm claustrophobic, Taryn. Oh, man.
Yeah, and then the fifth one was the Magaluf one, which I don't remember. But one that actually I remember was the fashion show one.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Oh, that was bad, because she just wanted like a classic wedding.
Yeah,
I think she was pregnant too and like feeling self-conscious, or she was just like a curvier girl or something.
She just wasn't super secure, I think. I can't
or
remember.
She just had a baby. I think it was like one of those things. And she just wanted kind of a classic, classy wedding. And he ended up putting her in some sort of unflattering dress and making her do a fashion show with actual models that she was walking with on the runway. And it was like laid out with, like a catwalk and then seats on either side, like a proper fashion show. And there was loads of models coming out in various other wedding dresses, I think. And then she came out
in hers. Just really weird.
And she was just like, I feel really insecure, like, I feel, like, really hideous because there's all these 6 foot, like, size zero models in wedding dresses next to me.
Yeah, like, why would you do that?
And he was like, well, she likes fashion. Yeah, not on her wedding.
Oh my god.
Like, that's the thing. I love horror movies. Horror movies are, like, everything to me. I wouldn't want anything to do with horror on my wedding. I'm not a big fan of like the themed weddings. I just want like a normal
wedding.
I could go
for like a horror themed bachelorette party. That might be
fun. Yeah, see, that's
you
different.
Go do a horror escape room or like a haunt, and then you go to like a goth bar. That sounds like a great time.
Yeah, but not the wedding day. If that's what someone wants, that's fine, but you know, I like various things. I just wouldn't want my wedding to be themed around them.
No, certainly not. I like to have my wedding at a haunted castle, though.
That would be cool. That would be a hint of creepy.
Yeah.
A sprinkling of gothic.
Exactly, there. Yes. Can I read you a Facebook status?
Please do.
Okay, so this is in, like...
a Facebook status? Okay.
Yes. Not someone I know. I found it on r/wedding shaming.
Right.
It's in some sort of like brides group or whatever like that on Facebook. Anyway, so she says, okay, can I get some advice, ladies? 9 months ago, what I thought was fiancé asked me to marry him. He didn't have a ring, so I assumed it was a spur of the moment decision. But I'm a chill woman and I understood the ring will come later and all that matters is that we have each other. Lovely, you know, wonderful. I've been planning my dream wedding for 7 months now. When I told him I was going dress shopping, he looked at me like I had 5 heads. Long story short, he claims he never proposed to me, and he said, and I quote, why would I propose to a woman I'm not even dating? And then she said, I'm thinking of tricking him into coming to our wedding and just seeing what happens. Not too sure what else I could do.
Break up with him.
This is the biggest miscommunication of all time.
7 months. 7 months of wedding planning.
And what, and he doesn't even think that they're dating?
Did he ask her to marry him whilst they were having sex? Because sometimes men say things.
Maybe.
Like that.
There's no sort of like more intel than that. So maybe.
That, I mean, it still would not be a logical explanation necessarily. That's just the only thing that could possibly make sense to me. If they were just like sitting on the couch having dinner and he was like, will you marry me?
Yeah, then that's a very much different situation.
That's very different, I think. Either way, very strange. Also, after 7 months, still no ring. I would have brought that up earlier.
I would have brought that up.
Also, they've been together at this point 9 months and clearly time before that. So minimum 9 months.
Well, apparently not, because
how does he
even
think
that they're
not dating? That's what I mean. Like, I want to... Do these people live together?
I don't know.
How often are they seeing each other? Like, is this someone that she's met up with, like... Imagine... Because, like, she could be the crazy one, too.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's just some guy.
Like, he could have said that whilst they were drunk and having sex or whatever. And it was really good. And he's like, oh, marry me. And then they've, like, hung out, like, 20 times since then.
Yeah, and she's been planning a wedding with some guy that she saw once.
Yeah. But then I'm also now, I don't know, I can't decide which sounds more logical, like whether she's insane or whether he's completely oblivious and they like live together. He's like, we're not dating, we're roommates.
I could not tell you, but I just read it and I was like, I'm actually fascinated by this experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope that they figured that out. I also have one really short one, then you can go.
All right.
I was at my buddy's wedding when my wife and I decided to go sit by the water. When I sat with all my weight, there was a metal rod sticking out of the ground that literally went up my ass. So bad,
oh,
and my
no.
pants are a bloody mess with a hole right in the kisser. Bad day. And then OP just went, what the
day.
Fuck?
Yeah. Bad day. No shit.
As is also this one. My cousin tried to jump over a small stream next to the venue and slipped on a rock and paralyzed himself from the waist down. Kind of ruined the whole wedding vibe.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, a little bit. Might do.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's dreadful.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that one shouldn't be funny, but it just sort of is by default, unfortunately.
It's the phrasing of it.
Kind of ruined the whole wedding vibe.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Right, I have got something for you. This
exciting.
Is an article that has just been printed online from American Anthropologist.
Okay.
So, title of the article is Champagne and Chocolate, Taste and Inversion in a French Wedding Ritual.
Okay.
In the early morning hours after a wedding, a group of unmarried youths bursts into the room to which the bride and groom have retired for the night and presents them with a chamber pot containing champagne and chocolate. This mixture is then shared and consumed by all present, including the youths.
Great. Just what I want on my wedding night is a bunch of unmarried youths to break
your
into my hotel
morning,
room.
So, although sexual meanings are at work here, it is the scatological connotations of this rite involving the symbolism of urine and feces that is made particularly explicit by the participants. As they say, however, even though this concoction may appear to be disgusting, it really tastes very good.
Oh my god, and it's just like, bunch of youths break into your house.
A bunch of unmarried, I like that it doesn't specify
unmarried, they
whether...
They have to be unmarried.
They do actually, because I looked this up on like Wikipedia too, and they do have to be unmarried. So basically the point of it is to be like, this is what you're in for the rest of your lives, is shit and piss.
What,
like,
shitting into a chamber pot? Not anymore, you're not.
It's like you, because you're now married, you're gonna have to put up with each other's, like, stinky business.
I mean, yeah, in, like, the Victorian era and before, yes, the chamber pot might have been sort of a clincher for whether you'd want to get married
apparently
to someone or not.
Apparently this was most commonly used in, like, this ritual was most commonly practiced in, like, the 80s. So, certainly not.
No, I mean, how...
chamber pot era.
How late was France using a chamber pot?
Well, this article's from 1996, so...
Maybe they didn't take up flushing toilets until the 90s.
I don't know. I just think that that's very funny. I like that it doesn't specify that the youths are... Whether they know you or whether they're, like, an assigned group of just, like, local youths who have to
teens.
Go break into your house.
Local teens. I don't know. It's hard
I know
to say.
They say it tastes good. And, you know, there's nothing technically wrong, I guess, with chocolate floating in champagne. However, it is still in a chamber pot, and I'm not convinced that this is a chamber pot that would have never been used before. I think it would just have been thoroughly cleaned, and they would just go, yeah, good enough.
Good enough, let's put some chocolate in that. No.
I don't think that I could drink champagne with chocolate chunks that look like little poopies out of a chamber pot, no matter how well someone had cleaned it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I would want to eat them.
Before I pass it back to you, I'm going to read you the title of a Wikipedia article, and I want you to tell me what you think it's about or what the phrase means.
Oh, God. Okay.
Republican marriage.
Oh.
What do you think a Republican marriage is?
What? Okay, so I guess Republican can refer to a few things, like the French Republic, which was after the French Revolution. You can call that Republican. Or there's Republican in the way that we probably know it best, which is, like, right-wing Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I feel like it's kind of like a dude bro marriage between, like, two bros who are Republicans?
All right.
And they're just kind of friends.
You are actually really close. Before you went down the American route.
Oh, so it is the French Republican thing.
It was a method of execution that occurred during the Reign of Terror in Revolutionary France, which involved tying a man and a woman together and drowning them, which is a bit dark, but I was wondering.
That is dark. That's
it.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good to know. I did some research recently about the French Republican calendar that they used, obviously, just after the, like, dissolution of the monarchy and all that. And they used it for a short span of time, and it was a new calendar that some people still use. I don't think very many.
Mm.
And it had 10 months instead of 12, and each month had, what would that have to be, like 32 days or something like that? Mm. I can't remember. Anyways, fascinating. And every day has a different tool, plant, or animal associated to it, and mine is rye. I was born on the day of rye, and I was born in the month of harvest.
Oh, I want to know what mine is.
I can look it up for you.
Yeah, find out.
I have a French friend, and he was telling us about it.
Ah.
Mum's is a not a hoe, like a... hers is a wheelbarrow.
I hope mine's a hoe.
I can tell you. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, so you're in Brumaire, I think, yeah, which mm-hmm. is the month of mist.
Ooh.
Which is quite nice.
How mysterious.
And you are you are the service tree.
Oh.
which is...
Yeah, I'd like some elaboration on what a service tree is, exactly.
Is called Asorbus domestica or Asorbus. I'm going to look it up. I don't know. And they also have berries called a service berry. I've never heard of this before in my life.
Interesting.
Oh, there is a genus of tree and shrub. Oh, they're ash trees.
Oh, I like ash trees.
I think. And they have little red berries on them that grow in clusters that you cannot eat because you will die.
Well, it's not very servicing.
Yeah, I don't know why they were called service trees, because it doesn't feel like they'd be that useful.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be like an orange tree or, you know, something that you would use for food. But if it's just going to poison, I mean, I guess poisoning
could be
can
useful.
Be a service. Yeah.
It looks like some of them have fruit that you can eat. There's a lot of different kinds. It's confusing.
Interesting.
But there you are. That's your French Republican day.
Ah,
happy French
thanks.
Republican birthday. Not right now, but in a good few months from now, that will be applicable. Okay.
Misty service tree.
Misty
Love
service
it.
Tree, and I'm harvest rye.
Yours makes a lot more sense, frankly. Mine's more abstract.
It's important to note also that each of the 10 months of the French Republican calendar has a representation, which is a lady that usually has her boobs out. Beautiful, like, Art Nouveau sort of style. Well, not Art Nouveau, because it was much earlier than that. But, like, romantic, classical ladies. And they're, like, holding, you know, a shovel or in the rain or something. It's nice.
I thought you were just going to say holding their boobs up. And I was like,
well, one of them might be.
Just showing them off.
Yeah. It's fascinating, though. I think I might start using it instead.
Oh, speaking of boobs.
Oh, yes. Of course.
So, I'm having my breasts removed.
Yes.
In 2 months.
Are you going to keep them in a jar, like a wet specimen? Because I think you should.
I would if that was an option, frankly.
I don't think they'll let you.
No, I think they send my, like, tissue off to, like, science to do, like, breast cancer research and stuff.
Oh, fascinating.
Which is interesting. But I have to pay for that. I have to pay for them to send my breasts to a pathologist.
Hey, that's not right.
Which feels like a shitty, like,
you're getting ripped
additional
off.
Cost.
They're taking your boobs and you're paying for the pleasure of it.
Right? Fuck that. Anyway, I'm going to have a farewell booby party. I need to come up with a better name for it than farewell booby, but that's...
No, I think you should call it a farewell booby party.
That's what I've got for now. And I want, like, boob-themed gifts, you know, like titty mugs or, like, titty plant pots or
when
a
is
card
this?
With various boobs on. April. Oh, yeah, I'm doing it on Easter weekend because I feel like this is my resurrection.
Oh, oh, the second coming of Christ.
I'm thinking of dressing up like Jesus.
But this time he had tits.
So.
Yes.
But I've also been thinking about how much I want to make one of those Marie Antoinette cocktail glasses, but using my own breast shape. But then I was like,
wait, the what?
My tits, you know, she had like little cups, or like the cocktail glasses were modeled on her booby.
I did not know that. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, they were I'm pretty sure they were cocktail glasses, though they could have been little bowls. But either way, that concept, I want to make one for myself.
Yes.
Like, take a mold of my boob and turn it into a cocktail glass. However, there's a problem here. A, I don't know who would be able to do that for me. B, my tits are so massive.
I was gonna say, you're like
if I made a cocktail,
man, this would be the biggest cocktail glass of all time.
If I made a cocktail glass using one of my boobs and then drank a cocktail from it, I would
wasted.
Be instantaneously blackout drunk.
Oh my God.
Like, just out.
That's so
face
funny.
Slammed on the table, completely fucked. However, I do think that that would be kind of iconic of me. Like, people come over to my house and I whip out just like a very strangely shaped cocktail
what
glass.
What is that in, there's that show you used to watch called Cougar Town?
Wasted. Yes.
And she used to have the big cup, what was it called?
Big Jill?
Big Joe, I think.
Big Joe, yeah.
Oh my God.
I need me a Big Joe.
But yeah, okay, I've got one last thing for you.
Okay.
So, weird weddings are very fun, but weirder than weird weddings are weird couples.
Yes.
And these are the people who are married to inanimate objects. Now, the most famous one is Oh, what's her name?
The woman with the roller coaster.
No, well, I was. That's there's her, but there's also whatever her name is, the woman who's married to the Eiffel Tower.
Oh yeah.
And she there's that video of her, and she has sex with the Eiffel Tower, and she's just like, there's nothing between us right now. And there's like tourists walking past. She's got her bare hole out on the Eiffel Tower.
No.
She's also called Erica Eiffel. Did you not know about that? Have you not seen that video?
I don't know if I remember her showing a hole to the Eiffel Tower in front of a bunch of people.
You don't see her hole. The Eiffel Tower probably does, because she's like sat on like a bar of it.
That shouldn't be allowed.
No. No, I don't think so. I think that you should be charged public indecency, probably. But, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So these are a few people who are married to inanimate objects or just strange things specifically.
Okay.
So number one, we have Amanda Liberty, who is in love with 25 chandeliers. Amanda Liberty, 33, mm-hmm. proposed to her favorite chandelier on Valentine's Day 2017 after purchasing Lumiere on eBay the year before. I love kissing and cuddling Lumiere, she said of her fiancé. You can't control who you fall in love with, and things just went from there.
How do you cuddle a chandelier?
Painfully.
That's like the least cuddly object that I can think of.
The nearly 30-inch wide chandelier is an antique and had to be shipped over from Germany. I couldn't stop thinking about her and how beautiful she was. She had such a beautiful shape, and I could feel really amazing energy coming from her, Liberty said. Although I knew it would be tricky to get her home, I knew I needed to find a way to make her mine. She explained Lumiere is only one of many chandeliers she's in an open relationship with. None of my chandeliers are jealous of each other. They understand that I love them all for all their different personalities. Liberty said her first love was a drum set at 14 years old. She was also previously... in love with the Statue of Liberty, for which she legally changed her name in 2010 and has travelled to New York 6 times to visit it, but said the distance took its toll on their relationship.
So her last name is Liberty because of the...
Yes.
Statue of Liberty.
Yes, but they broke up.
I also like that she started with a drum set and then moved to an enormous statue.
Yeah, it's quite an upgrade.
Ended up with chandeliers. Like, I thought it was going to be like, she has always loved chandeliers. Her parents had a chandelier in their home when she was growing up.
No, it's just sort of just like objects generally.
Yeah, any object, really.
Yeah.
Seemingly. She doesn't have a type. Open-minded, you might call her.
Yes. I also like that she's gay.
Yes, that's interesting.
She's a lesbian, but for chandeliers.
I honestly sort of understand that.
I'd be more confused if they were men chandeliers.
Yeah, I understand the sort of sapphic energy.
The sapphic energy
there,
from
I think.
That. Yeah. Okay, so this is number two. Fractal Tetris Huracan, who is in love with Tetris. The 20-year-old Florida student, whose legal name is Nurul Majabin Hassan, told InsideEdition.com, which is the website that I'm using, that she's fallen in love with Tetris and has been in a relationship with the video game for about a year and a half. I do plan on unofficially marrying Tetris, she said. Obviously, I can't marry an object, but is it possible to have a commitment ceremony?
Wow.
Her relationship with Tetris began shortly after her mom bought her a calculator at 16 years old. She said she fell in love with the calculator, which she named after the mathematician Pierre de Fermat. Because of her love for math and geometry, and even took the tool to prom. Huracan fell in love with Tetris nearly 2 years ago.
Prom?
Yeah, after playing the game on the computer. She spends up to 12 hours a day playing Tetris.
Oh my, how?
Just loves Tetris.
How do you spend 12 hours a day playing Tetris?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because, like, does she not have a job?
No, maybe her job is Tetris.
That would be perfect, actually. Works at Tetris HQ.
Maybe she's like a Twitch streamer for Tetris. If she's not, I think she should consider taking that up.
Honestly, I would subscribe to that.
Yeah, it'd be like weirdly erotic. I'm sure it's strange.
Yeah, that's like art performance stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Number three on the list, we have Asia Rita Berliner Mauer, who married the Berlin Wall in 1979. She is believed to be the first public case of objectum sexuality. For their wedding vows, she hired an animator to say the wall's vows. I don't know why an animator. Is that what I'm, like, going to be employed for in the future as an animator? Just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, why specifically an animator?
Why an animator? Is an animator she knew? Like, I don't know. Anyways.
Or is she just like, this person will be... will be great.
Will be good.
At pretending to be the Berlin Wall.
The Berlin Wall, I feel, is...
is problematic.
Well, this is interesting. So she says she sees objects as living beings that she can communicate with in a now-defunct blog. So she had a blog about this.
Okay.
Her feelings are both emotional and sexual, she says, and she's most attracted to large structures with parallel horizontal lines, like bridges, railway tracks, and fences. She explains that her basis of attraction to the Berlin Wall is its construction and has nothing to do with the Berlin Wall being a symbol of oppression and violence. I'm not interested in politics, she says. Like, what? Like, hold on.
She's like,
what?
You can't marry the Berlin Wall
and then be like, I'm not interested, interested in politics. No.
That's a very funny stance to take.
Very odd.
Yeah. I also like the sort of, you know, specification of, you know, the Berlin Wall was a symbol of oppression. You know. We don't condone her marrying.
It's bad. Bad news. But yeah, so obviously the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, and apparently it was very traumatic for Berliner Mauer. Like many who suffer traumas, she explains that she blocked the event out of her memory, only feeling the full shock years later. As she continues to grieve her husband, she says the remnants of the Berlin Wall allow her to maintain her relationship even after the wall was taken down. For me, the Berlin Wall exists as he was in his prime, she said. I will always love him. Those are my final words.
Oh my god. Because see, that one's almost like dark-sided.
Yeah, it's like starts to get a little like freaky, actually.
Like the people who are just like,
I love this roller coaster. Woohoo!
I have an armchair. I think he's pretty neat.
I think he's pretty cool.
Jerry, and we've been married for 15 years. It's like, okay, cool.
Good for you.
I hope that you and Jerry, the leather armchair, will be very happy watching TV together. Whatever. Fine.
Sure.
The Berlin Wall, I have qualms with.
More of a point of contention, for sure. I just remembered the video of that woman who's, like, married to a roller coaster or is in love with a roller coaster, and she's, like, getting the grease all over her, and she just goes, I want your fluids. I want your fluids. And she's just covered in, like,
that one...
roller coaster grease. Like, what are we doing? And she's like, I love the shape of his jibs.
It's the fact that I've seen several of these. Some of them, I would say, are not real and are sort of hoaxy, but I do believe the roller coaster lady is.
Oh, she loves
genuine.
That roller coaster.
But it's the fact that these people have weddings that I have witnessed, and their families are there, and I'm like, how has no one intervened? You know? If my friend was rolling around covered in roller coaster oil, trying to have sex, like, you know, breaking into a theme park to try and have sex with a roller coaster,
and be like,
licking the roller coaster, caressing it in front of me, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm getting married to this roller coaster. I want you to attend. I don't know what I'd do. I'd be like, honey, you have to come. You have to move back home because you can't marry a roller coaster or have sex with it, and not in front of me, especially.
No, God, no. It's mostly the decisions they make that I think are interesting.
Yeah, I think that's it too. Because again, like what I was saying about the armchair, it would make a lot more sense to me if you had something in your home, you know, that's around you all the time that you can be like private with.
Yeah.
It's very different when people like marry the local public swimming pool.
Yeah, and everyone's just like, man, can you stop having sex with the swimming pool, please? There's kids here.
I saw one about a woman who married her local swimming pool.
Oh my god.
And she like got jealous when people would swim in her husband pool.
Yeah, see, that's where things start to be like,
And she was, like, bribing the owner so that she could go swim in it naked at night and like use the jets and stuff. Oh, and I was like,
no.
No, see, kids swim in that.
No.
You can't do that.
No, certainly not.
I don't know. It's certainly like the public not. Objects is sort of weird because that's not your property and you're being really sexual in public.
Yeah. I just don't think so. Not right, I don't think.
Is there anyone else on that list?
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with, like, the best, the funniest ones.
Okay, so Amanda Teague, wife of 18th century pirate Captain Jack Sparrow's ghost.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, yes. See, no, ghosts are different. I would go to someone who...
Getting married to a ghost.
If my friend told me that they were married a ghost, I would be so excited to go to their wedding.
It's like that episode of Haunted.
Yes! Terrible show. But also amazing. Full of some of the biggest liars I've ever seen on television.
It's incredible. But there's this one where this girl is like, I've been in a relationship with like a ghost. And she tells a story of like when he first like came on to her or whatever. It was very funny.
God.
Anyways, yeah, so she doesn't say that she's an objectum sexual. She's just like, I'm married to a ghost.
Honestly, that rocks.
What's fun is that Captain Jack Sparrow was not a real man, so I don't know whose ghost this is. Apparently she's a medium and the ghost identified himself as Captain Jack Sparrow, but I'm not... Look, that's her business.
Yeah, frankly, that's none of my business.
It's just simply not my business. Okay, and then the final person on this list, there's obviously loads more people who are objectum sexuals, and it's a fascinating... thing to dive into. In fact, that's what I'm going to do after we finish recording. I'm going to go on the subreddit. I didn't even think to do that. But the last one is Akihiko Kondo, who married holographic pop star Hatsune Miku.
Oh, I don't think you can. Don't think you can do that.
Kondo is a 35-year-old living in Tokyo, and he's married to holographic pop star Hatsune Miku. They got married in November 2018. I'm in love with the whole concept of Hatsune Miku, but I got married to the Miku of my house. I've never cheated on her. I've always been in love with Miku-san, Akihiko told the Japan Times. His bride, Hatsune Miku, I'm sure you already know who she is because she's an icon, but she's a hologram voice synthesizer. She's very cute. She's got long turquoise pigtails.
You were quite into... Miss Miku when you were in high school.
Oh yeah, I had a Hatsune Miku bag, like a shoulder bag. I have her hair color right now.
You liked Vocaloids in general, didn't you?
I was a big Vocaloids fan.
Yeah, that whole thing kind of passed me by and went directly over my head. I understand this man marrying Hatsune a little bit more because like she is sort of like
a person. Yes. Akihiko said his relationship with Hatsune Miku's hologram he purchased for his home, like he has a little hologram of her that just lives in his house, comparable to like an Amazon Echo, pulled him out of his social anxiety and offered him qualities he would never find in human women, like the ability to never age and unconditional faithfulness.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. Every morning, the hologram wakes him up and sees him off as he leaves for work. In the evening, Akihiko calls her on his cell phone and lets Hatsune know that he's on his way home. Gatebox, a company that made Vocaloid, presented Akihiko and his bride with a marriage certificate, so he's officially married to Hatsune.
Interesting.
Miku. Even though his parents prefer not to acknowledge the milestone, for mother it wasn't something to celebrate, Akihiko 35 told the Japan Times. In fact, no members of his family attended the 2 million yen affair he held in a rented out venue.
Jesus.
Approximately $18,000.
What the fuck? How do you spend that much getting married to Hatsune Miku?
I don't know. I need to see, like, a video of his wedding. Also, I just want to point this out. I mean, I don't know about the moral quandary of this, because I don't know, because she's a hologram. But she is 16.
Oh.
Like, Miku Hatsune is definitely, she's, like, canonically a 16-year-old.
I don't like that, then.
Which starts to raise issues.
Yeah, especially as his whole thing is like, it's great because she'll never age.
Yeah.
FBI, we got him.
Hold on.
I want an episode of To Catch a Predator, but just about, like, a guy who's married an underage anime girl.
Oh my god.
All right, shall we wrap up this wedding event with an Am I the Asshole from Reddit?
Yes, please.
Okay. Am I the asshole for not letting my best friend have her wedding on my property after being uninvited? And this is by user wedding property.
Oh my god.
So obviously we already know that this person is not the asshole.
No, well, like, of course, just from that title.
They could have done anything to have been uninvited, and if it's on their property,
they still get the final say. You can't have the wedding there. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. One of my, 29 male, best friends Carla, 31 female, is getting married soon. It's only meant to be a small backyard type of wedding, but they've been planning it for a few months now, and originally it was supposed to be on my property. They wanted it because it's private, has lots of open space for the reception, a nice view, and the house could be used for them to get ready and stuff. Of course I said yes, she and her fiancé Rick were very happy. Thing is, Carla and I do have a history. We went out on and off in college but decided to stay friends. Then I met my wife, we got married, Carla met Rick, and now here we are. Now, my wife knows I went out with Carla back in college and she doesn't care. Carla still went to our wedding and everything. I never knew if Rick was told or not. It's not my relationship, therefore not my business to say anything, so I never did. Rick found out recently and not in the best way. Not sure how, but from what I heard from friends is that one mutual friend told him that we used to date. Not only that, but apparently Carla said a couple of years ago that she was still in love with me when she was already dating Rick. Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Don't have actual confirmation if that's exactly what he was told. All Carla's told me is that Rick was told about our past and he's angry at her for never saying anything. It became quite a drama and didn't hear from her for over a month until now. She told me they're going to couples counseling and that the wedding is still on, but Rick requested that I not attend. It sucks, but I get why he wouldn't want be comfortable. Then I asked the obvious question, where are they going to hold the wedding then? To my surprise, she said that they still want it at our place.
Oh my god.
Rick said so too, and in my mind I'm going, he doesn't want the guy who dated his fiance years ago at the wedding, but still wants the wedding at his house. My wife and I are expected to just not be at home that weekend, and I told Carla no, obviously. They're going to have to find someplace else, since we're not going to simply leave our home to them for the weekend. Not only for safety reasons, but it also just doesn't make any sense. Rick doesn't want me around because he's not comfortable, but is comfortable enough to have their wedding at my house. They really want their wedding here, though, and because of that, I've been bugged by not only her, but also Rick and some friends who think I'm being a petty asshole for not letting them have the wedding here.
Oh my god!
Honestly, I don't think I am. It just doesn't make any sense at all to leave our own place for a wedding we're no longer welcome to and leaving our home completely vulnerable. Still being accused of sabotaging their wedding, and Rick believes it's the least I can do after everything. Am I the asshole?
Oh my god. No.
A resounding no. You are not the asshole in anyway,
that's
and the
amazing.
Fact that this person even thinks that they could be the asshole makes them such a nice person.
Yeah, makes them immediately like, not the asshole again.
Should I just abandon my house to some guy named Rick who hates me?
No.
No.
No, sir. You should
you
not.
Should
Don't
not.
Do that.
So weird. Like, are they gonna sleep in your
God.
Bedroom?
Yeah, what
huh?
that? Like, what's happening there? What do they expect to happen?
Who does that? Who uninvites someone from a wedding is like, yeah, but we're still gonna get married in your house.
Oh,
go stay in a motel
God.
Or something. And also, it's not even like they've offered to pay for these people to go stay in a hotel or something. Like, oh, we'd still really like to use your property. Can we offer you $500 to go stay a night or two in a really nice hotel?
No, just like, get out of your own house so that we can
yeah,
have it.
Yeah, like, just completely screw off, and we're gonna get married here.
Wow.
And it doesn't even seem like they've offered them any money to get married at their place.
No, it felt like a nice goodwill gesture at the time when
friends. You can use my place, that's fine. Yeah, and now that's not the case. You can't be doing this.
Oh my god. I mean, that's insane on every count. That's ridiculous.
This person should cut off.
Yeah, they need to
every
cut
single person that has called them an asshole for this.
Oh my god,
because
yeah,
that's insane, crazy levels of entitlement. Yeah. And again, this is something that weddings bring out of people, is entitlement, like the bridezilla stories and stuff, like those ones where the bride tells the bridesmaids that they can't have like unnatural hair colors for the pictures.
Oh my god, yeah, they have to wear a wig or something.
Or the one where she was like, oh, you can't be in the wedding pictures because you're in a wheelchair. Oh,
yeah, just it brings out the evilness. Just pure evil
in a lot of
so
people.
Many people.
Yeah. Well, people build it up to be the best day of your life, and it's really not. It's just a vehicle for, like, legal benefits.
Yeah, essentially.
And that can be quite nice. I like to have a party, and I like excuses to have a party. It's not the best day of your life,
though,
and it really shouldn't be. But trying to make it so ends up making people insane.
Oh my god, yeah. Absolutely. Terrifying.
And on that note, I think it's time we bid the listeners adieu.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we've covered weddings. I think
that's all I have to say on weddings.
I think that's potentially everything that I possibly have to say on weddings. That's a lie. I could have a whole spiel about rings. I could go on it forever, but we're not going to.
If you guys want us to do more about weddings, we will consider it.
Yeah, we will do a weddings part two.
I think there's a lot to
most
say.
Most definitely. Even maybe we'll specify bachelorette parties,
yeah,
or like wedding
like
dress
that.
Shopping or something next time. We'll get a specific next
time. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we must be off, but we have been the Web Surfers, and I hope you'll come surf with us again in a fortnight. And if you want to follow us on social media, we are at the Web Surfers on Twitter. All right. Bye.
Bye.